Before we continue that group discussion back in February, made in New Orleans, I'm going to inject something of interest on May the 1st, pretty near, almost 3 months later. And that is that most of the observations made at that group session were based on results from winter tracks, they were based on results of activities from mid-October to that date in the middle of February. As tracks have dried out and have become faster, we have found that by entering yes to both adjustments, you're getting the best results overall. So amazing things do happen with the transition in weather. And we're going to go into the reasons for this later on. The overriding point is the fact that UltraScan and UltraScan N variant, coupled with its capacity to show you the horse that's running the best sustained and best early, can get you winners and high price winners at all times of the year. But your emphasis on readout interpretation will change with the weather. Generally speaking, at slower tracks and at off tracks and at tracks where maximum velocity is hampered by weather conditions and by wide vagaries in the daily variant, the procedure and techniques most emphasized in this group session are applicable, and that is the use of UltraScan invariant, providing you eliminate the non-contenders as the best readout. There will be exceptions, however, throughout the summer, but within the same program is contained the means for winning at all times of the year, on all kinds of tracks. One thing we implored you to do was to take about 20 races at your track on a continuing basis and check the most viable readout, UltraScan, UltraScan invariant, or one or the other or both of those when adjusted by saying yes to the question, want to make adjustments now. Within those three, and with the addition of your own energy factors, lies a winner virtually every time. I'm going to go into great detail when this group session is over in telling you the precise conditions under which to use one or the other of those three potentials. Now let's go back to New Orleans and to our group session. John was just discussing while we were changing sides on the tape here that Barry made one small mistake down here because he did not understand Louisiana racing, and having been told the answer to his problem, never looked back and never had another loser. He had a horse with an exceptionally fine record at Delta Downs, which is a much, much lower class than the fairgrounds. Two things he failed to note was that the horse had about 8 more points on his UltraScan invariant than he had on his raw UltraScan. In other words, his times were adjusted by, inflated by the variant to a degree that should have made him suspicious. And that was the thing we started this conversation off with. When there's a more than 4 points difference between UltraScan raw and UltraScan invariant, reinvestigate the horse. Ask yourself, why? Is it because of a surface condition? Is the horse in class? Does he belong with these horses? If so, leave him in and let him pay along odds. Otherwise, don't.
I'm sorry, let's stay with that for a moment.
Yeah.
Is Delta Downs a much slower racetrack than Fairgrounds, John?
Well, I'd like to say this. Recently, I rode Howard. I went to Delta Downs and I entered a contest several days with the UltraScan program, knowing the variant at this track, which was 25, because I used my variant program, and I adjusted for variant, and I picked about 60% winners each day and did very well. But because I had UltraScan at that track, remember, it's a much slower track.
In answer to your question, yes.
Yes.
Well, what helped me a lot here lately was I had gotten away from...
the hit of the danger.
I'd gotten away from the average purse value.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to you on the phone, you know. He said, Glenn, the average purse value gets down there so low, he said, they're not coming in tall. The winners are within...
What parameters used, Mike?
Well,
60%?
That's what I'm... if they're under that, I throw them out now.
Under 60, right?
Yeah.
In all these things, I think it's very dangerous to try to formulate a set rule. Mm-hmm. Because there's always the exception. You have to look behind what these numbers are. For example, if you have a horse that's been running in $10,000, and he begins to wake up, and his trainer puts him up now, and he runs a very competitive race against $25,000 claimers. And today he's in a $30,000 claimer. Well, his average purse value is not going to come anywhere close. But since he's been competitive with horses of almost the same value, if you just have a rule that you're automatically going to throw that horse out because of average purse value, then you're probably going to miss a strong contender in the race. So my advice is not to make a strong rule, but to really, when you see a low average purse value or a high average purse value, ask yourself why. Go back and look at the paper. Go back and look at the horse and see. And the question you have to answer is the horse going to be competitive against this kind of horse that's running today?
Well, Jim, you have kind of a rule of thumb on that.
Well, it's really, really difficult. And I know it's difficult for these gentlemen to tell how and why they eliminate a horse. It's insight. The more that you've worked, the more that you can tell whether a horse is going to be competitive or not. I do not do an APV. I do not keep a profile, nor do I keep a monocle. I use ultra scan and variant. I was trying to think of the name of that doctor, that psychologist. I read an article from him one time. I believe his name was Sarton. That said that horses are more predictable than human beings. And I believed that. And they are. And I don't like to waste a lot of time in keeping the profile or keeping the, or doing the APV. I look at it and I just see if my horse is going to be competitive. And I narrow them. I don't know how I narrow them in a lot of instances. But I do know who the contenders in the race are going to be.
Jimmy's making a very good point here, because a lot of people don't want to keep all these records, and that's one of the reasons UltraScan was created. Before we get on to an elaboration of what Jim was just going through, Michael had one more contribution to that train of thought.
Only that I was going to point out that Jim's acumen in this, I presented him with a race from Gulfstream Park in which I had done ultra numbers, copy graph numbers, energy numbers, you name the numbers, I did it. It was a 14 horse field and I thought a very tricky race. Jim took the paper and I saw the hat nodding up and down, kind of looking. He said, well, this one, and this one. Of course, they finished 1, 2, and 3.
Is there any way you can verbalize this? Because the person listening to this tape is saying, hey, that's great for Jim the Hat Bradshaw, but how do I develop this? You say it's insight, and we've said that, and people are getting tired of me telling them that it's all insight and they're going to develop it if they practice, but I think that is the key, is doing creates the insight.
I'll tell you, if I may, Jim, before you comment, one thing that just looking over Jim's shoulder when he was doing that and watching him do a number of races that I picked up from Jim was that... You need to see whether the horse is going to be competitive at the class level and at the distance. And I sense that that's one of the things that Jim looks at very very closely. And I get in trouble when I try to make too many excuses for a horse, when you really, really shouldn't. I go looking for excuses when really there is none. Jim, would you agree with that?
Yes. That's entirely... You can't make excuses for the horse. You start making excuses, start looking for different pace lines, start looking under the rock, you're going to find the horse that doesn't belong in the race. I think that it could, I've read the manuals, I've digested the manuals. Everything is there, and once you have read it and you've digested it, it becomes second nature to this. I throw out the horses or eliminate the horses before I ever do the race. One of the things that I look for is, of course, early speed, regardless of my track. I look for this on the horse that's going to make the lead. Because that horse, whether he's going to win the race or not, is a factor in that race. And if you start looking at these things, then it becomes second nature to reach down and find out the contenders that are going to be in the race. And once this has, this insight has thoroughly developed through concentration and working, it isn't really difficult. Howard has said this a number of times, that the more you work and the more that you think and the more that you do, is that your subconscious takes over. And this why it is so difficult for me to do. It's just second nature with me to pick these horses that I feel are going to be contenders in the race. And this is what makes UltraScan and UltraScan and Variant so great for the average horse player, is to just put it on there and go play them, forget it, because it works.
If you lose the race, there's going to be another one along.
Yeah, the answer to a lost race or picking a wrong pace line is one word, and that's next. Because if you don't get it in one race, you will in the other. I just want to point out something that Jim said, which I feel is very important. And I feel very strongly about this. It's a subtle point. I am much more comfortable and find out that I'm much more successful when I look at the contenders of a race first to see who's the contention and what kind of pace lines I'm going to be getting before I start doing any numbers at all. Because I feel taking a look at the whole race, who the contenders are, what the pace lines are going to be, will get me set mentally to start then looking, putting in the numbers and looking at them. The other way to do it is by horse, putting in the numbers and all, and I don't feel you get as good a picture of the race. I don't feel you're mentally as set to do the race. It's a subtle point, but try it if you've been putting in horse by horse. Pick your pace lines first. Look at the contenders. Throw out the dead wood first, then put in the numbers, and then look at the numbers. I'll assure you, you'll find that your sense of the race and your sense of what will happen in the race will improve.
And I'd like to give just one quick suggestion, if I could, and that's take everything as simply as possible. Like there's no point at all in spending a lot of time and in second-guessing yourself. Should you pick another pace line or not? You take a look, and this is where that instinctual factor does come up. You first take a look, of course, at the last race, and is there anything wrong with it? If not, fine, take that one. If there is something wrong, then possibly go back. Yes, ask yourself a question, but not too many questions. And again, the beauty of UltraScan is that so much of the work is already done for you. You can really just relax. And I would personally suggest that when you first start working with it, the computer asks, do you want to make adjustments? Say no. Try it like that, entering in zeros, and see what results you get. At most tracks, at most of the time, you'll do excellent that way. And if that doesn't work, then you go on to something else. But take the path of least resistance first.
The biggest question we get, and the most disappointed looks we get at our answer is, why can't I put 12 horses on the CompuGraph? With the old CompuGraph, which is still a magnificent tool for selection and for weeding out horses. The reason you can't put them on the CompuGraph, and it must be limited to a maximum of 5, is that if you put 12 horses on a CompuGraph, you would never be able to pick the winner, because horses that would not belong in the race at all will have ones, and you will confuse the score to a degree that you will have the same hodgepodge after you enter it into the computer that you had when you first looked at the page of the racing form. You'll have a mass of nothing. You have to be able to limit it to 5 horses. If you get the wrong 5 horses, find out what you did wrong after the fact and correct yourself by doing regression on yourself. That's what the Brohammer model is all about. The Brohammer model is an after-the-fact thing that tells you what was successful. You don't just do it on the races to establish a model. Establish a Brohammer model on yourself. If you're not picking the right five contenders, or get it down to four as Jimmy does, ask yourself, where did I go wrong? What mistake did I make in leaving that horse out? If you correct your own mistakes day in and day out, then you will. That's exactly what I did. I'd never seen a horse race until 1975. I found out what I was doing wrong every day, corrected myself, and as a year went on, I was only making half as many mistakes, and the next year I was making half. Pretty soon I got it down to enough, to a minimal amount of mistakes, so that I was consistently winning, and I think that's what everybody has to do. I didn't have anybody to send me audio tapes or write me manuals. I had to figure it out for myself, and I think it took me longer. And we're trying to make it take less time for you by giving, sharing these insights. But when it comes down to it, they are just insights.
That's right. This program, incidentally, is a natural for building a model, because it's easy to run. You can run through all the races so much quicker that you have enough data at the end of the day to be able to rank each of the categories to develop the winning patterns. And that's one observation I made yesterday playing with it that much, is it lends itself to that model.
Another hint about what Howard was just saying about looking at your mistakes and correcting for that, that's absolutely very, very important. And then the important thing to do is that when you look at a race that you've lost, and you've analyzed out, and it seems like you've done everything right, and you still haven't come up with a winner, well, guess what? You're not going to win every race.
That's right. And
trying to win every race, or trying to get much too high a percentage, will wind you up in more trouble than will improve it. Your psychology will get you'll get tense, you'll keep looking at what I did wrong. Just find out for you what works and go with that. And realize that you're going to miss some races. Some races you just shrug your shoulders and say, okay, next.
A lot of people talk about picking the right pace line or the wrong pace line. Bear in mind, those are moral judgment terminologies. It's the accurate pace line, the most predictive pace line you're looking for. And a real good example happened the other day. John and I arrived late, and somebody told us that the four horse has got a lock on the race. And so I immediately said, which pace line did you use? And Jim Bradshaw said, Howard, it wouldn't matter whether you use this one or this one, the numbers are within 0.01 of each other. If you do several pace lines in practice with UltraScan, you're going to find out that the great quandary you've been in over which pace line to choose will be solved, because they won't be that far apart. Because UltraScan sorts out some very important factors for you. So if you have doubts about the pace line, do three in a row and see how close they are, and see why one is maybe just a little higher than the other, and also learn why some of them are so close you can't believe it, even though the races are distinctly different.
Yesterday we had a dramatic example of this at the fairgrounds. In the eighth race, Barry just made a very brilliant call by going back four races on a horse, because his last three races were on slow or muddy tracks. Now, I just went ahead blindly and took the horse off the slow track. I did not have the winner. Barry's winner paid $31.20. Move on a few races to the 11th race. We had the same situation with one horse. I again took it off a slow track. Barry went back a race or so to get it off a fast race. And this time, my horse won and paid $28.20. So it will even out in the long run. If you just stay with what works for you.
In one of our manuals, we stated that a bunch of us went to Las Vegas, and this has been duplicated many times in this group right here, from the first time we did it in the 70s to just a few months ago. 5, 6, 7, 8 of us go. We all end up with about the same percentage at the end of the day, but we don't pick the same horses more than, I'd say, 45-50% of the time. Now, that hasn't been so true with UltraScan. UltraScan has put us more uniformly on the same horses.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer priced horses. But still, you'll get the same percentage whether you pick your pace lines the same as your friend or not, as long as you're picking something that is predictive. If you make the same mistake over and over again and you're winning with it, don't stop making the mistake. But if you're making the same mistake over and over again and you're losing with it, then you've got to change your ways. John Nick's a real good example of that. John Nick started off by doing a few that he was winning. I said, John,
what did I say, John? You tell him.
Well, Howard told me, in other words, I was getting confused. I was looking at UltraScan and UltraScan with Varian, and I was winning unknowingly until I was really familiar with the program. I was winning with UltraScan at some very good days until I realized that when I had a router going into a sprint or a sprinter going into a route, that I'd play UltraScan with Varian. Then I found out that I'd pick up several more winners by using this program. And one other thing that I learned about using this program, where I was making a mistake, when the track came up muddy, to definitely play the UltraScan with Varian and would adjust all the horses, and I had some fantastic big payoffs using the UltraScan and Varian on an off track.
Now, in order to justify the use of the adjustments that we've discussed with you in factor analysis and all the other things, I, generally speaking, will make all those adjustments. Not because I want to, but when I'm in California and I have the time, I will make all the adjustments that are logically necessary to make a program work, even as Tom Brohammer and Bob Purdy do when they're home. And I find that it sometimes will pay off immeasurably, because you will not have a horse that you will take off UltraScan and Varian that doesn't belong. I think the key is you as an individual. If you consistently put in bad horses that should not be in there, you should then find that you're getting more winners from UltraScan Raw than you will from UltraScan and Varian, because remember, UltraScan and Varian depends upon you eliminating horses that don't belong in there. So for those of you who are saying, hey, I cannot get as good of results from UltraScan and Variant as I do from Raw UltraScan, adjusted by my own adjustment figures taken from my track profile, then use UltraScan adjusted by you. But keep in the back of your mind a little record of every time you get a surprisingly high payoff that you miss because you're not using UltraScan and Variant with UltraScan and Variant. Because when you get that high payoff, that's telling you that in that race, you put in all the right horses. You did not put in some bad horses. So ask yourself what you did right in that race that you weren't doing before. Because ultimately, if you're putting in the right horses, from the right pace lines, you will get fantastic results from UltraScan and Varian. So here's another way to do a Brohammer regression on yourself. If you're getting more winners from Raw UltraScan than you are from UltraScan and Variant, you should do a regression on the horses you're including, because you should be getting more winners on UltraScan and Variant. Barry, you tried them both ways. Without a manual, you didn't know what you were supposed to do.
I was totally on my own at first and was just experimenting, and how I finally did forgive him. But when he first gave me the program, he just said, here, try it and see what you think. And I said, well, what do I do with this? And he said, well, you tell me, you just try it and load it in and see. Well, I was willing to sacrifice. You know, frankly, I have a very tight schedule. I'm short on time, and I don't think I have the patience of Tom or Bob in keeping the accurate records. And so I thought, well, I'll be willing to sacrifice a little bit of accuracy just for the speed, so I'll have a chance to get some handicapping in. And boy, was I surprised. Very pleasantly surprised that I got both. Not only did with this does the speed pick up, but actually Michael, do you find also accuracy picks up too, because you don't have that fatigue factor in there?
I think that's very important. And to me, Barry, another point, just going on what you said, is this: the algorithms that are in the program to figure out ultra picks up the relationship between the pace of the horse and the pace of the race, and it summarizes it for you automatically. It will pick up relationships that are not available to the average horse player. It will also pick up things from a race, from a pace line, that are not obvious to the average speed or pace handicapper. So that when we were doing velocity ratings and looking very carefully at line scores and all the rest of that, we were very often on the same kind of horses that a good
pace handicapper or a speed handicapper would otherwise have.
That's right.
But when you use ultra, and Tom will amplify this, when you use ultra, you're looking at relationships that the average just has no idea of. And what that translates into is price. You're going to get much higher prices than you should on a good ultra or ultra plus variant horse.
I want to just interject because I want people to not get the wrong idea. You do also pick favorites with this. It's not just long prices. Right. This just plain picks them. I mean, your win percentage is with this is fantastic. Mine is implying I'm not one of these people that skips over the maiden races. I play every race in the card, and I'm well over 70%.
Well, you bet on the tractors yesterday around the racetrack.
I'm there. I'm behind myself.
You bet on the tractors.
But Michael's right. The real beauty to UltraScan is not just with the speed, but the fact that it does pick out that relationship between pace of race and pace of horse. You know, at first I was a little bit concerned. I would look at APV, but that, of course, is not factored into the equations. And I was concerned about that. With the basic method, I put the class rating in, and that I included it. But the fact of the matter is, in my opinion, that's the best definition, workable definition of what class is how a horse can relate to the pace of the race. Can he meet it, set it, does he fade, whatever? And I won't say most people, but I didn't have the patience or the time to go running through first all on the basic program, then doing a pace of race, pace of horse, maintaining the track profiles. If someone really has a bent for that kind of thing, fine. But this does it all automatically. It's included in the internal computations.
I agree with Barry. I have never been one to use average purse values and class adjustments on the basic program, contrary to what Barry does. Using the UltraScan program, I feel very comfortable not having class factors on there, where Barry was uncomfortable with it at first. To me, it was a revelation that I had been right all along. I thought Howard came around to my way of thinking.
Well, we've got a little misnomer there. We call it class adjustment, and it really is not an adjustment.
No, it isn't.
It's a class figure for you to look at.
Exactly. What I do like very much now is that Howard has taught me to look at the average purse values. Because we were dealing with velocities before and trying to fathom out ourselves, seeing the pace of the horse and the pace of the race figures, we were trying to analyze ourselves what UltraScan is now doing for us in summarizing how the horse ran against the pace.
Interesting story on that. That's why UltraScan was born. I get a lot of people say, yeah, but Brohammer and Purdy, these guys, they see things and they didn't get it out of your manual. You didn't tell us how to find those things. And so what I wanted to create was a program that would look at matchups, look at relationships, look at percentile relationships between how the horse's velocity was and the pace of the race, and essentially look at those things that Tom and Bob look at and Jim looks at, with what we call insight, is that why do some horses come off of a same daily variant, off of a 112 race against 110 horses and beat them? Well, they analyze that on the basic program from a variety of factors, and UltraScan, using the UltraScan invariant readout, does it for you by internal mathematical algorithms. People say, well, explain that to me. I try to explain it in the manual why it works, but let me tell you this. Frankly, I don't know why it works myself, other than it does, and that's why you got your manual so late, is in the middle of writing that manual, which was going to be relatively simple. People started sending me these problems, and when the UltraScan continuously and consistently solved these problem races that were paying $40, $60, and $80, I figured that it was just like maybe the atomic bomb was invented by mistake. Somebody mixed something with something and it created something. And I would say that there's probably just as much accident in the development of the algorithm as there was ability or genius or creativity. It just happened. It just grew. I can't answer why specifically, so if I can't, don't expect me to answer it to you. I'm happy that it works.
And it works.
And also, what good, I mean, what really, ultimately, what good will it know? Will it do knowing why it works? I think the biggest resistance I had to using UltraScan, the biggest, and I still have it sometimes, is that it's too easy. It is too easy. I think I could spend the next 4 years full time and maybe I'd approach the acumen of Tom Brohammer or Jim Bradshaw looking at pace of horse, pace of race, and getting all the relationships up. You've got in your hands a program that will do that mathematically. Now, maybe in a rare case, looking at the raw numbers and making your own kind of insights and all, we'll pick up a winner, you know, one more winner in 40 races. But in most cases, those numbers that you'll get, the UltraScan, the UltraClampus variant, will pick that up without you having to go through all that torturous analysis and study.
It comes back to what somebody said earlier. That holds price also, because I know Bobby's as sick as I am. The people in Southern California, and I'm sure in New York the same thing, have gotten to the point that they're driving down the horses that we're betting to the 6-5, 7-5 level.
Right.
And UltraScan will often hold on to, well, most often will hold on to the horse that pays 9-2, 5-1, where Bobby and I aren't getting those in those matchups, because a lot of people in that area must be catching up with us and analyzing pace. And there are a lot of pace figures available commercially now that apparently do somewhat the right job.
Well,
we've taken a step forward, I think.
Tom, I couldn't agree with you more, and especially in New York, where until recently, I would say, speed handicappers predominated among the serious players. Available daily, excellent, excellent speed numbers. In the last few years, I have seen more previously total speed handicappers become speed and pace handicappers.
You read the same book I did.
Yeah, I think, you know, they read you know, Andy Byers' book, of
right.
course, when he was talking about pace, and a lot of the thinkers in the game started to do what Howard had done years before, and the predecessors to him. So you're right. So those prices are going down. Ultra plus variant and ultra are getting those relationships that the yeah. average speed and pace handicapper will not.
I was a speed handicapper, and one of the things that appealed to me about this method in the first place was that I could never explain why that top figure, I could explain it after the fact because I didn't analyze it prior to the race, but the top figure would get beat so often because it didn't match up well early. Mm-hmm. And that's why I converted to this method in the first place, but apparently a lot of other people have done somewhat a similar thing. Oh, scan is very appealing from that standpoint.
We never intended to be simple. It just came out that way. All of you who have asked for something simple are now writing me letters saying you're suspicious of it because it's simple. Which just goes to show you that a horse player is an independent individual, and that if you give him what he wanted yesterday, he won't want it tomorrow, and we admire that in you, but we would ask you to do this. Use your UltraScan and variant, and if you're not winning with UltraScan and variant, as you should be, as these gentlemen are telling you that they are winning, and I've watched them so consistently do, then you're entering the wrong horses. You're entering too many horses. You're entering too many horses that don't belong there. If you'll do 20 races on yourself, do them when you know the results. Do them with horses you've already done, whether you won or lost the race. Ask yourself which is winning the most for you, the way you handicap, UltraScan raw or UltraScan with variant. If it's UltraScan raw and you're getting enough winners, then keep on doing what you're doing. But if you're not getting more winners with UltraScan and variant sooner or later, then you're entering too many horses. This is the greatest lesson you'll ever have, what this program will teach you. You're doing something wrong. If you're not winning with UltraScan, and I say this in all modesty, then you're not ever going to win. But you will win with UltraScan if you just listen to what these gentlemen have to say. And remember, you can always write us. You can write any one of us that you heard on this tape, anyone you identify, anyone who said something that caught your ear, you can write a letter to him. Just to make it simple for you, write it to me at the Institute, and I'll forward it to each one of these individuals that you wanted. And they'll give you their answers in person to elaborate on what they said. Subsequent to this group session, I received a very interesting tape from Barry Birkin, which represented his views several weeks after the New Orleans seminar. But before we get to that, I'd like to comment on a few of the things that were said. We were talking about the matchups that you could see if you use pace of the race, pace of the horse, which are automatically made for you by UltraScan. A lot of people say, well, how's this done? Let me tell you what the difference between UltraScan and a velocity rating method is, which is what phase three essentially was. UltraScan gives you the velocity of the horse at the two most pertinent calls, the second call and the final fraction, but it also gives you the percentile relationship of the horse to the pace of the race it ran against, coupled with the velocity and then averaged. Consequently, a horse that may have run against a slower pace but did very well will have a higher rating than the horse that ran against a fast pace but did not do quite so well. Now, this is great if the reason that the horse ran more slowly against a slower pace was based on a condition of the race that was based on the track surface condition. In other words, the track surface was slower in that particular instance. And or the particular pace matchup of that day was slower. Now remember that in certain circumstances there are what we call no pace races, in which there is virtually no great early speed. So consequently, with there being no great early speed, the entire race is run somewhat more slowly and the fractions are more leisurely run. If that was the pace matchup of that day, and your horse equaled it or bettered it on UltraScan, then he is just as worthy a contender as the faster horse, even though their daily variant was the same. That's one instance where UltraScan invariant, or UltraScan by saying, yes, do you want to make adjustments now, will give you a winner. The key to that situation is that horse must qualify based on class, based on what he has done in previous races. If you find a horse doing well against a slower pace, and that slower pace was a product of the daily surface condition, then that horse belongs in the race, providing he has run as fast as the other contenders when the surface on which he was running was equal to theirs. The other situation is where he did very well against a pace that was not challenging because he only did as well as he had to do. Always bear in mind that horses, unless they are of stakes caliber and their trainer is trying to break a track record for breeding purposes in the future, horses will only run as fast as they have to. They will win running as fast as they have to run. Nobody wants to tax a horse overly if they can get away with having the horse win or finish in the money at a slower time. So speed is not everything. How well a horse runs against the contention it is facing is primary. That is why UltraScan and UltraScan invariant, both readings, give you the potential to win on not just velocity alone, but velocity plus the horse's percentile relationship to the pace against which it ran. Remember, that is the key word, its relationship to the pace against which it ran. The underlying problem for all of us to solve is, did that horse run more slowly because it's a slower horse, or did it run more slowly because of the condition of the track, which is represented by the daily variant, or the condition of the pace it ran against, or is it just a slow horse? The way I solve that problem is I look back in its past performance lines, and I find that when faced with a faster pace or a faster track, it did as well as the other horses in the race that it's going in today. It's very simple. Let's take 110 as a criteria at 6 furlongs. If it ran 112 and ran very well and it figures for you, look back to see if it ever ran 110, because 110 is the criterion of the day. If it has run 110, then it shows it can run against the maximal velocity manifest by the other contenders today. If, on the other hand, the only time it ever did well was against 112, and you know that the pace of the race today is going to be far too exacting for a 112 horse, and all his fractions demonstrate this, then you merely eliminate that horse. It does well only against a slower pace. It does well only against a condition of the track that is slower. Look to see what the horse can do against a minimal daily variant, what it can do against a faster pace race. If it can't do well, meaning as well as the top of the other contenders today, then the horse doesn't belong with them. If, on the other hand, its best race was a slower race, but it ran well against it, but it has demonstrated in the past that it can do well against a faster pace, comparable to the pace times of the other contenders, then you leave him in and you use the ultra-scan invariant rating, which will take his race against a slower pace and equalize it with the race the others ran against a faster pace, probably on a faster track. That is the essence of what ultra-scan and ultra-scan invariant will do for you without you having to make any adjustments. Now, we're going to listen to Barry Birkin's personal observations made a few weeks after the group session. And then when Barry's finished, I'm going to give you the latest update on what we have determined as the key way and probably the optimal way to use your UltraScan program. But first, here is Barry Birkin speaking from the shores of Lake Hiawatha in New Jersey. Barry?